Executive session at?
5:45.
5:45. Believe that was 3 minutes. Next on the, next on the agenda is the staff report of disposal of real property policy.
Okay, good evening. So disposal of real property policy. So during the HAP policy review, it was identified that the existing sale of real property policy was no longer operationally effective. It had been decades since it had been maintained and would require repeal. The outdated items included in the former policy included things such as ministerial approval for sale in excess of 100,000, which were no longer to be found in the MGA. So since the old policy could no longer be used, research was conducted to draft a replacement policy to align with the MGA, while including some best practices that were not expressly outlined in the act. The new policy covers practical operational things that the MGA doesn't, which are as follows. I'll just give you a couple of high-level oversights. Principles governing disposal of real property and the designation of real property as surplus. So this is basically the how-to for the designation and disposal. Next point, prerequisites for disposing of real property. Next point, responsibility for costs associated to disposal or for the disposal of real property, which essentially is best practices to provide transparency and consistency related to costs. The process for unsolicited proposals to purchase real property. So this is essentially the how-to. So if we get a sale of real property, this gives us a consistent process to follow. Also, restrictions on purchase of real property by elected officials. So this is best practices in the new policy. So this aligns with our conflict of interest policy and tax sale procedure. So essentially, the new policy affords a fair and transparent process while giving counsel the opportunity to have some flexibility if there is a compelling reason not to follow the policy for a specific sale. They have the ability to pass a motion saying the sale of a particular property would be exempt while still adhering to the MGA. So those are the highlights around the best practices that are in the disposal of real property policy draft that you have before you. I guess, Cliff, do you want to do the answer?
You might want to just highlight what we have a couple of options.
Right. So basically, you have a few options here where you can, upon review of the policy, you can request further revisions or adoption of the policy as it's written. Or you also have the ability to consider whether there's in fact an actual need for a policy or if just the use of the MGA to follow that is sufficient. So.
Question is.
Yes.
How aligned is the draft here with the MGA?
Yeah.
Which gets to,
yes,
do we need an actual policy or do we just follow the law?
Well, that's an excellent question. Absolutely.
That's why I asked
it. Okay. Yes. Thank you for asking that. It's kind of what I was beating around the bush too, but basically you do have that choice. However, the reason a policy was drafted for your review was to create the ability for fleshing out the best practices when it comes to costs and a few of the nuances around those types of things. I don't know, Leslie, you want to help me out here?
Sure. Oh, you and yeah, like this policy, It could simply be that you repeal the existing policy instead of repeal and replace with this policy. And this policy doesn't replace, doesn't restate anything that's in the MGA or change anything that's in the MGA. It doesn't repeat anything that's in the MGA so that if the MGA is ever changed, we don't have to do any revisions to this policy. It's all fine. It's just that this allows some more operational clarity. So it can speed up the process in the event of sale of real property because it's got questions resolved through the policy. So things like Kieran says, it's clear in the policy who pays the components of the cost associated with, a sale, for example. So it's all specified in the policy what would happen. So it can be, and we'll see that in a few minutes, handy to have some of these things defined because then there's a sale that needs to happen, then all the little questions that staff may have are answered through the direction that's provided by the policy that is outlined by council. But it is a great question because every time we have a policy, it needs to be maintained on a regular basis. And that does take time and it takes an effort. So we always have to weigh that. That's why we gave you the option of just simply repealing. We did quite a bit of work to propose this one because in the end, we felt that those benefits for clarity, I mean, disposing of municipal real property is an important thing, a very visible thing, and probably something that you want to make sure is really transparent and really consistent. So it seems to us that it's worthy to have a policy in this particular case. But as Kieran says, even within the policy, there's the ability by motion for council to say there's an urgent or important or specific need where the policy is not going to be followed in that particular case. So, it's available to council to consider not putting this policy in place. It just ensures there's a really consistent approach around some of the operational side.
Could that easily be addressed by a series of procedures and practices as opposed to a policy, which would be easier, I would say, changed, but maintained and updated?
It could be, but in the case of something like real property, I think putting that responsibility on staff may be not entirely best practice. Where, council by policy can specify that these are the ways we want things to be handled. So it ensures that this is something that has received careful consideration and is endorsed by council as opposed to being a staff interpretation. So in that case, it helps protect staff from any questions regarding how we may have interpreted the specifics of a sale of real property. As opposed to saying we're explicitly specifying how we want to do that, which is what's done here in this policy. But, I mean, it's absolutely something we can take back to council.
My point would be that if there was a set of guidelines and procedures, if they were to be changed, it would have to come back here anyway, as opposed to change. It's easier to change the policy because of all the time limitations and hearings and yet we'd still have to follow the law, the MGA. Something to consider.
Could we maybe have more time with that? Could we? Maybe not make a decision.
That's why the recommendation is review it.
And kind of seek that out because. As you said, yes, you want it for reasons, but also the time and ensuring that this is kept up on. There's pros and cons.
We take time to each one of us individually review this, talk some a few suggestions, and we'll bring it up again
next
in 2 weeks. Is that adequate?
Sure.
Two weeks.
Yeah, there's two.
At our meeting, at our council meeting.
Or the next meeting, whichever works.
If we get feedback quickly.
If we get feedback quickly.
Yeah, so that we can be prepared to do something meaningful with that.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yes.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
I know you very well this.
Okay.
It's good. It's good. And it leaves us to Teddy and the transfer station. Can you start with you?
Yeah, I do. In order to be compliant with our approval to operate the construction demolition waste transfer facility, there's section 18 in the approval that we have to be compliant with. With that, we have to develop a groundwater surface slash stormwater and leachate monitoring plan. This has to be, we have a deadline of March 31st of 2026 to have the proposal for the plan to Department of Environment. Through our municipal standing offer for engineering services, Straight Engineering has provided a quote for the development of the plan to meet the directives of Section 18 for the quoted price of $16,300 plus HST. This is within the available budget of $30,000.
Yeah, question for Teddy.
Hey, that's the 16 grand is just for the engineer study that they're going to do. You only have the one from Straight Engineering?
With the 3 year contract that we have with Straight Engineering, or service agreement, I guess it is not a contract, service agreement. We reached out to Straight Engineering to provide a quote where there's a tight timeline that it was completed.
Yeah. Something has to be done, so yeah.
So Teddy, just to be clear in my mind, the C&D material that is brought to the waste management site or to the transfer station, whatever it is, the site, does it not go into bins right away? Or is there a separate?
No, it goes into the bins right away. That's our current transfer facility. We're dealing with the existing cells that are buried on site.
Okay, this is the existing cells. It's something that we're never going to get rid of.
No, and we have to monitor the existing cells after closing the disposal facility for up to 20 years or until Department of Environment are satisfied that there's no further risk of contaminating the surrounding soils.
And this is totally mandated by the province to do this?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Here we have a recommendation that the council approves Straight Engineering Limited to develop a plan by March 31st, 2026 for St. Mary's to fulfill the requirements Section 18 of the Nova Scotia Department of Environment and Climate Change Transfer Station C&D approval to operate. The quoted price is $16,300 plus HST, funded from the remaining available $30,000. Motion.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second the motion.
Councillor Beaver, seconded by Councillor Connell. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion or the recommendation is approved. Next is our veteran.
Thank you. Before you have a summary of the 2026 property tax assessment rule information. Each year we do an analysis of the new property tax assessment rule leading up to budget deliberations for the coming year. Within this review, we compare what the residential assessment is this year compared to last year, along with resource and commercial assessments. We then take that information, compare it to the difference of revenue, potential revenue you could have if the tax rate remained the same. So there's a couple important factors to look at here. The assessment notices are just being mailed out at the beginning of next week. Residents will have a 30-day appeal period. So this is prior to any appeals for assessments. It's also important to know that based on this information for the tax roll, it shows approximately $150,000 potential tax revenue increase if the taxes remain the same. This is a 6.04% increase. It is also important to note that the cap rate was 2.6% this year. So if you've owned your house for a number of years, your assessment on your home or property would be going up by 2.6%. That's what the cap rate means. Additionally, each cent that you raise the taxes, so this is all setting the stage for your budget deliberations, means revenue in the amount of $26,885. So this is all just some information gathering so that council has it prior to budget deliberations coming up in the next couple months. Strictly for information purposes, but if you have any questions, feel free.
Yeah, what's startlingly clear is the commercial assessment and the reduction, which obviously refers to the number of commercial buildings that are out there, I take it. So that's just a reflection on commercial businesses either failing or otherwise going out of business, correct?
One large component of the commercial assessment is the pipeline, which is flatlined as well. So we've seen a number of years where the pipeline had increased in assessment. That over the last, I'd say at least 5 years, has flatlined, so you don't have that growth at all either. Commercial properties also are not under the cap program, so they're not guaranteed to increase every year. So there's no increase right off the bat. And then coupled with if there is any closures of commercial properties, if they change from commercial to say resource, there's a multitude of factors. But yes, unfortunately, it has flatlined, and that is a negative in this report.
Yeah. How long does a residential cap?
Cap is normally about 2 years before it catches up. So if you purchase a property, technically, if you purchase a property sometime last year, you have at least a year before you catch up. It depends on the timing. So if you purchase it from me, you'd have about a year or so before you would jump from cap to market. Then you would get back into cap again. But if it is a family transaction, you do not come out of cap. You stay in it the whole time. So that's important to note if you purchase property from your parents or so forth.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bernie.
You're welcome.
Continuing. Almost
awesome. Thank you. Again, this is another piece of valuable information leading up to budget time. Each year, the Department of Municipal Affairs provides us with our uniform assessment, which is a provincial calculation that we use to help determine what our education expense will be for the coming fiscal year. So the education rate remains the same, but we times that by our uniform assessment, which is based on our assessment, mandatory expenses, our grants that we receive, a multitude of different financial reporting tools. So based on this information, this increase in our uniform assessment would result in our education tax increasing next fiscal year by $45,344. So in the previous report that I just presented, it shows that we have potentially $150,000 of additional revenue. This report here shows that our education expense is going up $45,000. So again, this is a valuable tool when we start scoping out the budget for next year and start building it. That's the percentage on that one as well. The year before, the increase was $64,000. So it's a 5.19% increase education expense.
Yeah, what's also interesting to note is that the tax increase that you've got in your figures here is 5.63, yet the uniform assessment is 5.91, which it just indicates a further pressure. If our tax assessment is not keeping in pace with our uniform assessment, then, and who's to say what the what our police forces is going to be, but what it looks to me is we're going to have some pressures for the budget.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to set the stage with this information moving forward into those important discussions.
Thank you for all the good news.
It's great. It's great.
Which brings us to the additional area of FG, the Sherbrooke Volunteer Fire Department.
Which is good news,
I'm told. You see in the in the letters they sent us, they also sent us a copy of the minutes from last night's meeting, which does specify the cost of the apparatus, the what they're putting down, and they are seeking financing, and basically they're asking for the municipality for a loan guarantee, just to make sure that the payments, just for the bank, a bank, will get paid. In the staff report, you will see that it has happened in the past. It has happened in the past, and they made good on it. And I would open the floor. There is a consideration down there. I would open the floor to any questions they have. There are representatives from the fire department here. If they have, and we have any questions about it. I know this got sent out last minute, so if you haven't read it all yet, take a second to do it. But it was time sensitive.
We've guaranteed loans before. The municipality has guaranteed loans before. It's not new.
Yeah, so within the staff report, it is noted that as per the MGA, we do have the ability to do this for registered volunteer fire departments. And it is noted there back in 2017 that we had guaranteed a loan for the Sherbrooke area volunteer fire department, which the department was successful with that capital purchase, and they demonstrated strong financial capacity at that time.
So if we do this and they don't pay for it, we can take their new truck and sell it to somebody else.
That is not what I have proposed in the staff report. Rather, we do have the guarantee of the fire tax levy that we collect on behalf of the department.
Yeah.
The loan is significantly under what we do collect annually from that department as well. So those are a couple key factors in this decision.
Ask a question of our representatives. What is, how old is the vehicle you're replacing?
1987. And this one that we want to buy is a 2013. So we'd be coming out 26 years.
So, yeah.
I know that's really shocking.
Sure. It doesn't need a whole lot more explanation than that to maintain a certain level of protection, especially in the rural department where we can't all afford $1 million trucks. You need to have your vehicles running. And this is
and we do have a yearly inspection done on them. Other than safety inspection, there's a guy comes and tests the pump, make sure it's adequate to put out however many PSI gallon per minute it's supposed to put out. He did recommend last summer when he came, or this summer when he came, and last summer actually, that this particular vehicle, given its lifespan, should be replaced. So we do have two that we get tested every year. Our other one also tested okay. This older one is getting on the fence. So we have to do something to protect the municipality, basically, because you get calls all over.
You all do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, personal opinion, I think it would be a benefit to the community, and when the time comes and the tones go off, you need something to get there, and you don't want to find out something doesn't work when you get there because of its 80s.
87 it is.
I think I have a kid younger than that. So there is a recommendation on the back here. Does anybody have any other questions?
No.
Not you, David. There is a recommendation the municipal council provide a loan guarantee the Sherbrooke Area Volunteer Fire Department for the acquisition of a 2013 Freightliner pumper truck in the amount of $125,000 through the Royal Bank of Canada on a 5-year term. If the department defaults on the terms of the loan, the municipality will fund loan payments through the annual fire tax levy revenue collected on behalf of the Sherbrooke and Area Volunteer Fire Department. I don't know, Councillor O'Connell has to abstain from this vote, but can I have a motion, if so, inclined?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Deputy Warden and Councillor Tebow, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
One abstention. Get your fire truck. Well, you're gonna have to fill in some paperwork.
I just to tell you a little something about the situation we get into. Thank you, by the way. But we've been looking for a truck for quite a few years, and because they have this lifespan supposedly on fire trucks for a 20-year lifespan, which Royal Fire Departments can't keep up to, basically. But we've been looking. And one of our members found this one online, so I've been working on it since last Wednesday, actually. And so when I got a hold of this guy, this is a funny little story, but I'm trying to make it short. So I got a hold of this guy on Monday morning, again, talking to him, and I'm really interested in your truck. Can I hold it till I was prepared to fly down and look at it or something? And he said, look, sir, he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, there's two other fire departments searching funding for this truck right now. So he said, I'm sorry, because I wanted to know if he'd lower the price too. But he said, I'm sorry, I can't lower the price and I can't hold it. So I jumped in my truck and beelined her for the bank. But we already made a payment on it. So if it wasn't for you people, I would have to go see Scott and get 100. But
$125. I give money all the time.
So I just want to tell you that little thing. So thank you, and we did make a payment on it already. So, but it's in Pennsylvania, so it's going to be a little while getting there. But I'm working on it.
Awesome.
But
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
We welcome anyone who wants to come and play with our stocks and learn things. And I think I'm getting the sign. Thank you very much.
Bum brush now.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Okay, next on the agenda, number 10, in camera contract negotiations. Should go in camera. Councillor Beaver?
Second.
Councillor O'Connell, all those in favor?
Aye.
The time is 6:14. It is 6:44, and I'll motion up Deputy Warden Leroy, and seconded by Councillor O'Connell. We're back in session, and this being the last item, that being the last item of our agenda, the meeting is concluded at 6:45.